This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
A few months ago, it would have seemed an insurmountable idea. Can a country as big as the United States ban an app as popular and widely used as TikTok? I'm sure the owners of TikTok didn't think so, but now it is an idea that is becoming more and more likely. And that is because legislation banning TikTok made it through Congress and has now been signed by President Joe Biden. It requires the Chinese company that owns TikTok, called ByteDance, to divest its U.S. operations or face a ban. So how realistic is this? Well, David Green is a senior staff attorney and the civil liberties director of the Electronic Frontier Foundation and joins us now. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Is this realistic? Could TikTok be banned?
Well, the law's passed, it's been signed, so it's law. I think the question is whether the sale will actually go through. I imagine that TikTok will challenge it. There may be other lawsuits as well, and then we'll see what happens from there. I think a lawsuit has a great chance of success in blocking this law.
When you're saying a lawsuit, you mean that by ByteDance suing to prevent this from happening?
Well, I imagine it would be the U.S. entity of TikTok would sue. I don't have any inside information here, but that would be my guess. It would that the U.S. entity of TikTok that would be forced to have new ownership and then with that potentially new editorial policy and practices would sue. I would also hope to see a lawsuit by TikTok users as well. This is what we saw in Montana when the state of Montana passed a law banning TikTok in Montana. We saw two lawsuits, one by TikTok and one by TikTok users, and I would hope we would see something similar here.
Why? Why do you hope that?
Well, I actually think the most compelling story here is TikTok users, and especially when we think about the First Amendment rights at stake, I think the most compelling rights are those of the users who have a right to receive information, the right to communicate with each other with their chosen tools, the right to enjoy and take advantage of TikTok's unique editorial tools. And so I think the users can present a uniquely compelling case. And I also think one that members of Congress completely ignored. All they ever talked about, when you asked members of Congress about the First Amendment implications, about the freedom of expression implications of this, of their actions, all they said was, the Chinese Communist Party doesn't have a right to talk to our people. But what they did not even discuss was the fact that U.S. people have a right to receive information. They even have the right to receive information from the Chinese Communist Party if that is what is actually happening.
Right. Okay. So do you feel, is that where things are headed now, that this is all just going to have to be decided in court?
Yes, that's where we are now. Previously there was a legislative debate happening and there was a possibility that the bill didn't seem to be going anywhere in the Senate. And until this was attached to the foreign aid packages, which were a high priority for many legislators, I don't think the TikTok ban would have gone anywhere in the Senate. But at some point, I think senators say, the aid packages are so important to us, we'll let this one go and we'll let them fight it in the courts.
Okay, so is that what happened? Do you think is it your belief that it wasn't a huge outcry by legislators against TikTok? It was because it got attached to these aid packages?
Well, in the House, there was a huge outcry, but the bill had stalled in the Senate. There didn't seem to be enthusiasm in the Senate for pursuing the House's TikTok bill until it was attached to the aid packages. And that was very purposeful, obviously. This is not an uncommon thing to attach bills that are important to someone but not important to others, and then attach it to something that is a high priority action, and then it goes through that way. We've seen this happen many times before.
So do you have any concerns then about TikTok and what is going on there? Or do you think that it should just be left untouched?
Well, so there's a few things going on. I think there are, you know, I don't have the inside information that the U.S. intelligence community might have. There is a possibility that they could show that TikTok presents such a unique threat, that such a blunt force tool, like a forced sale instead of some more narrowly tailored type of regulation, is really necessary and satisfies the First Amendment test. The First Amendment doesn't present an absolute ban to this action. It just makes it very, very difficult for the government to justify it. And in court, the government will have to justify that. And there is some possibility they'd be able to do that with the intelligence that they have. So there's a possibility the law could be justified. I just think it's going to be difficult for the government to do so. The other thing that's not a legal issue is the fact that that TikTok and really many social media applications may not be wise for some people to use. If someone's threat model includes China, then they probably shouldn't be using TikTok until they know more about what exactly happens with their data. But that's certainly not every U.S. user, or even the majority of them.
Well, thank you for explaining it to us this morning. We appreciate your time.
Happy to help.
That's David Green, Senior Staff Attorney and Civil Liberties Director of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, talking about the complicated TikTok potential ban situation in the U.S.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.